Jesus tells a story about a great banquet. And if you could think for a few seconds on some of the big banquets you have attended, or maybe wanted to attend, maybe didn't get an invite. Wedding reception, that's a big banquet. Thanksgiving dinner, get hungry just thinking about that one. Men's wild game dinner, that's a raucous group that can get together, you know, and eat all kind of food. And I thought, here's a surprise one. Lunchtime at the high school in the cafeteria. Big banquet, right? A lot of people, a lot of food. The ungrateful don't notice it. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Or for the sports fans, there's the all-you-can-eat hot dogs and pop at PNC Park. Seven hot dogs, and you think, this is like heaven almost. Bad comparison. But that's the big banquet. Hey, big banquets are universally, people get excited about it. So Jesus is at a meal on the Sabbath. He teaches about a great banquet. And he notices at the meal that there's people there, and the host is there. He happens to be a Pharisee guy, strong in the Bible. And Jesus notices that compassion is not there, nor are invitations there. Okay, there's lacking in invitations, and there's lacking in compassion. So he does a few things. He heals a person. People get shaken up about that. He notices people are going for the better seats. And so he says, hey, when you're gathering together, don't pick the better seats. Wait for the host representing God to say, hey, you come over here and be here. Okay, and don't exalt yourself. Because if you exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. So humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you. So there's that message that he gives. And then Jesus tells the main man, who's a prominent guy, again, a religious leader, he says, when you're having a big feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Now that takes a lot of nerve when somebody invites you over to their house, you know, and you tell them, hey, next time you should invite this one and this one and this one and that one. But Jesus being God, he can have all the nerve he wants, you know. And he's there to straighten out what would be a blessed situation, make it more blessed. And then Jesus gives the fourth confrontation, which is the parable of the great banquet. Great banquet. You and I are in the parable. And so he says there's a great banquet. Many guests are invited. The invitation goes out. Come now, for everything is ready. And in history, you know, there's going to be a time when God says, hey, everything's ready. It's the end of history as we know it. And so you come and be with me. Who wants to be with the Lord? We'll have that having been settled already in our soul. Come now, everything is ready. And so Jesus said, all the people begin to make excuses about why they can't come to the banquet. And if you were in any kind of church setting or youth group, say like in the early 1970s, many have not been born yet. But there was an old song that summarized what Jesus was saying here. And the song, if you know, I cannot come to the banquet. Does anybody know that? Don't trouble me now. Joe Cox and I. There you go. this is good. But the message is the people make excuses. In the story Jesus tells, I can't come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I've married a wife. I've bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused. I cannot come. And so everybody says, no, I the banquet sounds good, but I won't be there. And I got important stuff going on in my life. And so what happens next? The master rose up in anger, called the servants by name, said, go into the byways. Get the blind and the lame. Get the peasant and the pauper. And tell them to come in. My table must be filled before the banquet can begin. And Jesus gives us a couple of truths in the parable. Number one, when the Lord and Master calls you, be careful not to say, I cannot come. I cannot come. I'm a busy person. This parable is, imagine it impacted the culture back then. But it was almost like Jesus looked ahead to 2017 and he said, you know, when my people gather, this is what it's like. Okay, it's a universal, I cannot come. I got the oxen, I got the work, and I got the wife. And so there's three things I'm heavily into here. And Jesus said, when the Lord and Master calls you, be careful not to say, I cannot come. Don't be too busy for Jesus and his banquet. He's not too busy for you. He's not. And he warns people, he says, not one person who rejects the invite is going to be at the banquet. So if you say no, know it's going to be. Not too good to say no to Jesus' invitation. And the truth, if you take the banquet, saying it represents heaven, conclusion, people don't go to heaven because they don't want to go to heaven. I got my life, I'm living for me and my activities, and I am not coming to the banquet. And it's been said that the closest picture, and I think it would be accurate if you search letters and Jesus, look at his body, the church in heaven and on earth. It's been said the closest picture to heaven, here's a shocker, on earth is worshiping God with his people. Okay? The closest picture of heaven and earth. The visible body of Christ gathered to praise God. That's a picture of the church in heaven, the church on earth. And so Jesus, you know, that being said, he's not saying, hey, don't worry about your responsibilities of your wife and your field and your work. But if you put God first and his banquet first, you'll bless your wife and your field and your work. You really will. And so Jesus is saying, don't be too busy for the banquet. And then Jesus gives a mission for the people here by saying, hey, don't forget, when you invite, when you have a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, or the blind. He says that in two different parts of Luke chapter 14. And, you know, in the Old Testament, it was so difficult to worship God in a good way in the ceremonial law that the Lord, if you look in Luke chapter 20 or Leviticus chapter 21, God actually says, you know, when somebody is blind or so crippled they can't get around, you can't have them near the altar, because that was a ceremonial law that, you know, God said, I know people are not going to be able to handle that right now. But here Jesus, he shows that his love, okay, fulfills the ceremonial law and opens the door to all kind of difficulties. And of course, not just referring to people who are physically that way, but people who are in their souls toward God. They're poor, they're crippled, they're blind, and they're lame. Okay, they're in a broken condition. And they're the outcast, the unlikely, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, and the sinful. Okay. And so you have this gathering, and Jesus said, this is the gathering that God will include in the banquet. And the banquet on earth is to reflect the banquet in heaven. Okay, so when you think of this, we have to say in the parable, we're either the hosts who are trying to keep the blind and the crippled away, or we're the inviters who say, well, I'm going to invite the hurting, the outcast, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, and the sinful, and come to the banquet. And so people are in that boat. And that's really, when you think about it, that's really us without Christ. You know, if I'm not leaning on God, I'm blind. I'm emotionally not together. And I pretty much live as a pagan lives. One of the things that people in the culture said about Christians was that Christian seems to live pretty much just like everybody else. I can't tell any difference. Okay, now I don't know if that's in reality, but that was the verbal confession of those who don't know the Lord. And so to look at that a little bit, what in our culture is the lame, the crippled, the blind, and what do they say about God and his people. This was a survey by Lifeway Research. Just some things I think will help us. There was a book years ago called Eternity in Their Hearts. And Don Richardson, who wrote the book, he was a missionary. He said, you can go to any culture anywhere and see spots in the culture that were crying out for God. In other words, they kind of knew there was a God. And if they were open to the Lord, they were very open to the gospel. So the American friends and neighbors we have, you would have to say, well, eternity is in their hearts. Eternity is in the hearts of the atheist, the secular guy, okay, the Muslim guy, the guy who says, oh, I'm sleeping in today. You know, eternity is in their hearts. And so here's some things that people say who do not know Jesus. When communicating with people, they're asking, hey, respect me. Don't dismiss my thinking. Don't judge me. Don't pressure me. And that's common. They're asking for common courtesy. Okay. And it really ties into 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where Peter says, when you're given an answer for good news, do it respectfully, courteously, with reverence, and with fear. Okay. So you're talking to a person, no matter who they are, listening well, jumping into their shoes. Okay, I hear you. Oh, you say everybody should go to heaven. Is that right? So you think heaven's a good place? Okay. So you're concerned about all people. Is that what you're saying? You're concerned. That's good. You're not being condescending. You're trying to understand people. You're not dismissing their opinion. You're hearing them so that they might hear truth. People outside the church say this. Tell me the truth. Don't exaggerate. Don't exaggerate. Don't say things like, God heals everybody. God will take all the pain away in the sanctuary by 12:30. Okay. No, it doesn't happen. Okay. Guy on TV, he says it happens. It doesn't happen. All right. You gotta, don't exaggerate. Okay. Tell the truth. God does help people. God does help people. Sometimes they get helped right away. But don't exaggerate, because that does not honor Jesus, who is the truth. Big reason why a lot of people don't turn to the Lord. I had great sadness, but God didn't help me. If you had a chance to talk to some militant atheists, you'd find out that, man, maybe they lost a parent. Maybe they went through a rough time, lost a loved one, and they were brokenhearted, and they prayed, you know, as much as they knew, God, help me. This is terrible. I hope my loved one lives. And the loved one died, and they were left brokenhearted. So they said, no God for me. Okay. And that's a hard condition. Maybe you could share at that point, God, boy, he hurts with everything that he has made. And in Isaiah 64, it says, God has distress with those who are distressed. You know, he really takes on your pain from what you're going through. So we should know that about those crippled, blind, lame spiritually. Here's another one. I have spiritual interests. That's true. A person's going to be interested in the Lord. Number five, it's a big one. I can't get past Christian hypocrisy and church corruption. And at that point, you could say, well, the church is a flawed group of people. All the problems you see outside church, you'll find inside. Okay? All the problems. And, church is one of the few groups of people you have to say, I am a sinner, and I am broken, and I need a lot of help, just to honestly come and be a part of things. So sometimes you just have to say, yeah, that's a problem the Lord's helping us with. Here's another one. Christian acts superior to others. I always like to quote the old preacher who said, every person secretly feels himself superior to all others. I don't know if it's the case, but even if you disagree with that, then you're trying to say you're superior to the guy who said it. See? But at this one, you might say, well, for the atheist, unfortunately, he hit the nail on the head on this one, This is something. We're not known for our humility, right? not too much, but the Lord can help us with that. So sometimes you just say, hey, you're right. You know, we shouldn't be that way. And we need God as much as you do there. Here's a good one. Why does forgiveness in heaven have to be by Jesus alone? A common thought by somebody blind spiritually. I think just real directly you could say, because Jesus is the only one who loves you 100%. That's why. And he's the only one who died in our place and rose from the dead. And he's God. He happens to be God. So why? Because there's no forgiveness or heaven without God. Therefore, there's no forgiveness or heaven without Jesus. You could give some news with respect and gentleness. And here's a good one. You care about me if I reject Jesus. We want to say, yeah, well, God loves you even if you're pushing him away. Because you might not push him away down the line. And you might turn to him. And Jesus said, there's still room at my table at this banquet. It wasn't at the Pharisees' banquet, but it's to be at the great banquet. Make them come in so my house will be full. That's great. Heart of God. Where are they going to go? Banquet in heaven? Church in heaven. Banquet on earth? Little church on earth. Okay? Here's a good one that's countercultural, even in the body of Christ. Christians today will say, that's whack, you know. What is that? The local church is a visible reality of the body of Christ and the great banquet. That's true. You know, because God loves you in eternity. Certainly loves now. And when you gather, you're praising his name together. And Jesus is saying, there's still room in my house. Make the house full. So you get the ones who are spiritually not connected at this point. In corporate worship, invitation to the living God and a healthy view of God's people gathered as a great banquet. Paul said in Philippians 1, that I can hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel. Okay. And you know what? We as Christians, we should be saying good things about other churches. Oh, yeah. Because if they know the Lord, they're probably thinking, I wonder if those Alliance people know the Lord. Well, when we don't talk to each other, we'll never know if they know the Lord, and they'll never know if we know the Lord. How's that working out? But when you say good things about other gatherings, you're saying Jesus is Lord. You're pointing people to him, side by side, working for the gospel. It's good in a local church, too. It's really exciting when somebody in Awana says, you know, the little child in Awana says, I love that choir. I'm going to pray for the choir. Someday I want to be in a choir. What does Awana child know about the choir? I don't know. What's a choir? You know, choir people say, what's Awana? You know, but Or it's great when you have the Sunday school people say, oh, so thankful for the elders, you know. They're reaching out to people. Or the youth group says, I hear something about an elder. Is that anybody over 50, you know? What is that? No. Elder are those who watch after God's people and they pray for them, you know. And so the young people, they work side by side with those. With one mind, one spirit, for the sake of the gospel. I knew a lot of my mentors when I was 18 to 21. They were pretty much all 50 and above. They were my mentors. I remember old Elmer Dunn. He would come and sit. He couldn't sing. He had a horrible voice. But I would always hear Elmer Dunn singing away. I need thee every hour. And oh, there's Elmer, you know. And at first I giggled, but afterwards it was like a holy thing. And when he would say, you know, and how are you doing today? Well, it was a great chance to talk, you know. My buddy said, how are you doing today? I said, you know, we just joked around, but didn't joke around with Elmer Dunn, the ones who were a little bit, they were the banquet. They were all at the banquet and to worship God together. And the Lord does that for us. Could you do that as a lifestyle? And even, toward next week, it's obviously a great parable. Go. Don't forget the compassion. Don't forget you're not looking for just for a seat for yourself. Don't forget the invitations. And the Lord, He's concerned. You know, He's concerned. Spiritually crippled, blind, lame, physically so. But also, when he says, invite the crippled, we're going to say, that's me. I'm glad I get invited. You know, I get invited. I'm blind. Guess what? We don't know the Lord as well as we think we do. You got to tell that to somebody who is not a Christian. They'll say, you feel like me then. Well, tell me what you do know. And then you could tell them. Okay? And the banquet must be full, and God is determined. So we're thankful for His invite to us, to Him and His people. And let's pray together.